Amen. And all right, why don't we pray? Let's see. Is this thing on? It will be in a minute. Kathy, what happened to you? Here, you pray, because you obviously were in a... Boy, I thought I got red.
Nope. No, only in Michigan can you freeze the weekend before and then burn the next weekend.
You got that right. You got that right.
That's right. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this class, Lord. I pray that right now, Lord,
yes,
that you would just anoint the words that will come out of Pastor Don's mouth, Father. Mm-hmm. I pray right now that it would just touch our soul deeply, Father, that it would be your words that would resonate with us and stay with us, Father. Mm-hmm. And I pray for Alma as she's on her way with our breakfast, Lord,
yes,
that she would get here safely, Lord, and that in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, well, good morning. And if Alma comes and manages to bring breakfast for all of us, then we will take a quick break and we'll break bread. Just want to welcome you. Today we're beginning our biblical worldview class, and it's going to run for the next 8 weeks. I'm not going past that. Regardless of how far we get, I'll come back in the fall time and we'll pick up from where we leave off. So I've entitled this, just a biblical worldview class. So the week one, understanding the nature of the problem. We're going to look at some things today. What is what do we mean when we say the word worldview? What comes to your mind? Ken, what comes to your mind besides taking another bite of that bagel that you're eating there?
I guess for biblical worldview, it would be, based on the classes I had when I was in high school, it would be looking at it more from a historical perspective. And in my case, when I took classes in high school, a lot of the instructors I had actually tried to disprove some of the miracles that occurred and everything. So it was just basically pretty secular.
Wait a minute. You went to a Catholic high school, did you not? Where'd you go? You went to Divine Child, right?
I actually had a nun that taught Old Testament that actually tried to disprove some of the miracles that occurred during the plagues in Egypt and everything. I was pretty surprised. So.
Yeah. And, people laugh when we talk about this, that most religious institutions today are the worst enemies to Christianity. And so he went to a Catholic high school, he went to Divine Child over in Dearborn, and here he has instructors trying to undermine the faith itself. Well, here comes Sammy. Sammy, what you got there?
Sammy.
Food.
First time I was ever happy to see Sammy.
All right, we'll give him a minute there to set up. It's not strange, but here he is. If that's going on in the parochial schools, what do you think's going on in the public schools? Okay. So we talk about this, and he gave the answer that, they try to discredit the history. And that's part of having a biblical worldview. The other part is looking at every part of life through the lens of Scripture. Now, I was driving home yesterday. I had to go to a funeral I mentioned last night over in River Rouge. And I was coming home. I was listening to radio. And Laura was sitting in the car next to me. And this guy was on 1500, and he was talking about, well, you know what we need to do in the church? We need to take the principles of the Bible and begin to use them in the economic realm. And the guy asked him, he said, well, are you saying that there's a biblical system of economics? He goes, oh, no. And I started yelling and screaming and said, wait a minute, there is a biblical system of economics. But this is the predominant teaching in most churches, that it's okay to get saved, learn a little bit about Jesus, learn about this, but how do you take this Bible and apply it to every area of life? And so we talk about our finances, we talk about history, we talk about government, we talk about our children, we talk about romance. It doesn't matter what it is, it is addressed, or there's a principle, there's an underlying principle in the Scripture that will give us the right perspective on how to look at the world. And so we talk about what is the worldview. It's looking at the world from a biblical perspective as opposed to a worldly perspective. And we're going to see this contrast all throughout the Scriptures, and you probably will, from Moses and Pharaoh, they had a different way of seeing things, all the way up into the New Testament. Paul, if you read the book of Acts, you'll find out that Everywhere he went, he saw things differently than the communities that he was going into. So what I want to do is try to spark a desire to begin really examining things. Now, I have an old Newsweek magazine. I'm just going to show this real quick. This was a few years ago. But if you're familiar with this Newsweek magazine, it usually comes from a very liberal perspective. So this doesn't surprise me. But it shows you that every magazine, every TV show, every movie, every book, every cartoon, everything you watch has a religious message associated with it. And the problem is discerning what that message is and then looking at it and speaking up against it one way or another. So this just happened to be the religious case for gay marriage. All right, now how many Christians do you think would read this and say, wow, this really makes sense? And they got the Bible on there, and they got the little ribbon there with the little rainbow colors. But they have some theologian or a couple theologians in here, and they're going to present the case that homosexuality is not a sin, that the Bible really doesn't speak against it. It was only for a certain class of people. And the problem is these will influence. All right, thank you, Alma. So we're gonna take a quick break before we get into everything else. So she's got it all set. Let's just say a blessing. Father, we thank you for the food that Alma brought in here today. We thank you for Alma, Lord, that hopefully she's feeling better. And yes, learn to say this. Yes, all of life. You get anything out of this class? You get anything out of this class? All of life is religious. All right, burn that into your mind, burn into your heart. So when they tell you that you have to separate politics and religion, you remember what I said, all of life is religious. And we'll get to that as we go down the road. So we see every thought. So every political thought, are we to make it obedient to Christ? How about every child-raising thought? How about every sports thought? I'll tell you a quick story about the sports. My sister was dating, remember a guy by the name of Tom Kowalski. I forget the radio station, but he was he worked for the Lions organization, the Oakland Press. He was did the pregame for the Detroit Lions, and he would come to my house, and he was there a couple times on Easter Sunday. We got into this debate because he said he was an atheist, and so he happened to come over. Fred and Esther came by; they got to grill him for a while. And then Marty and little Sammy came by, and they grilled him for a while. And then I got to grill him some more. And then somebody else, I forget, came by, but he was trying to present, there's no God, you can't prove it, he's unprovable, blah, 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 blah. So I'm listening to his radio program, and this is before he passed away, that he goes, now I want you to call in and give me the Bible, the Bible-believing truth on the Detroit Lions, what you really feel about them. And I started cracking up. I wanted to call in and go, Bible-believing truth? Hey, you're an atheist. You can't use our book for a justification for telling the truth, because if you don't use it, then you really have no justification. He didn't realize what he was saying. All right? So every thought, that includes sports. You listen to the sports show. What are they? They're always arguing about right or wrong. Some action is right, some action is wrong. Jim Leland didn't take this guy out of the game. He should have, and then it gets back to a religious look. All right, here's another one, Colossians 2:8. See to it, speaking to all of us, that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Now, that doesn't mean philosophy is bad. Philosophy is good. You all have a philosophy, whether you believe it or not, and that's really what a worldview is. It's a philosophy on how you should live life, which depends on what? Human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So we're to develop our philosophy on the person of Jesus Christ and what he has to say. Our philosophy of the way society should be predicated upon the Scriptures. The way we raise young men and young women, the way we dress, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we do business, the things we believe are all predicated upon Christ rather than the philosophy of the world. I gave my son Mark over there. I actually had a copy of an email between him and a professor, and I've shared this before, that they were discussing evolution. So my son Mark raised his hand, got into a big discussion with the professor about Darwin being a racist. And this guy, oh, he got so mad, he sent him an email. And he says, well, just because he may have been a racist doesn't mean the theory is racist. Now, could you imagine somebody today saying that? Well, you know, no, they would reject it out of hand because it came from a racist or it came from the Klan or it came from some type of, you know, authority. So they went back and forth, and this guy, it amazed me that he would take the time. It wasn't just one paragraph. It was a couple pages. So I told Mark, let me answer it for you, and I'll pretend I'm you. And so we see that every thought. Okay, here's Paul writing to Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. We're to guard what we believe. Okay? Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. So we have knowledge being, you know, and that's why the homeschooling is so important with this young couple. It's because there's knowledge that's being disseminated in the public school that is not knowledge. It's false knowledge. It's the way they should be brought up sexually, their gender identity, the way society should be, what they believe about government. So you see that this is false knowledge. And the best example, I use it all the time, is the way we look at the world. Are you here because of a creator, that God created you, or are you here through a long process of evolution that had no purpose and man was not an ultimate goal? It just developed and went whatever direction it went. You see how they're diametrically opposed to each other. One is right, one is wrong. Guess who's right? We are. Good to be on the right side. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word repent, when we think of the word repent, a lot of us think, well, that's kind of a negative word. You know, that means quit doing what you're doing. Actually, the word means to change your mind. And so our mind has to come in line with what God says about a certain thing. God says there's a heaven and hell. Guess what? There's a heaven and hell. People don't like to hear that, do they? When you say you can only be saved through faith in Christ Jesus, other people don't like to hear that. Well, what about the little Muslim kid or the little kid in Africa? We've heard those arguments. Okay? Our mind has to come in line with what the Scripture says. And if we don't agree with it, guess who's wrong? We are. I had a lady one time, she was a feminist. She came into the church. She actually was a member. We run into her every now and then, and she became a Christian. But when she first came into the church, man, it was very hard for her to reconcile Christianity and feminism. You couldn't reconcile it. And she had all these questions about, you know, well, shouldn't women have these rights and do this and that? I go, yes, but where do those rights come from? And so this group has stolen an idea. They perverted it. She got caught up in this thing and went with the whole, you know, coot and caboodle there. All the ideas that women, they have a right to their own body. They have a right to do this. They have a right to do that. And, I mean, she would literally sit after service and we would talk about these issues and we had to take time to work through these things. Eventually, her mind was renewed by the Word of God. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you want to know what God's will is, you better know what the Scripture is. What's God's will for the family? What's God's will for the church? What's God's will for you as a father or a mother? What's God's will for you in your profession? Okay? Those are all things that are very, very vital. So worldview has to do with our beliefs about the nature of reality and the world, particularly in regard to the questions of our origin and destiny. And as I said, what's the big teaching? Evolution. Now, the big teaching is there's alien life. You ever watch Discovery Channel? I love watching that. That guy, the Greek guy, man, he's got hair. Looked like me in the morning today, didn't it, honey? I mean, just, I had my Liberace look going. And they're like, well, you know, they call themselves something theorists, like space traveler theorists. Or, I mean, give it a big fancy word, and they're a bunch of kooks, you know. Obviously, you know, the pyramids could not have been built by a man, so obviously the technology was brought in by, you know, alien space. And I love sitting there listening to these guys because it's just, you know, one thing after another are just making it up as they go. Nothing based on fact. No investigation. Guy wrote a book back in the 70s. You can still get the book. It's called Chariots of the Gods. Anybody ever hear that book? And I forget the author's name. It was some Norwegian or Greek or, you know. Do you remember the guy's name? But there was a book. In this book, he basically looked at all these things in the world, and he said, there's no way that man could have built this in his knowledge. Therefore, he had to have help from aliens. And so the aliens came down, and he gave all his little examples. About a year later, another guy wrote a book. It was called Chariots of the Gods Refuted. And this guy decided he was going to follow up on this guy's work, and so he went over to Egypt, and he's sitting in a bar talking to guys, having a couple drinks, and they said, no, we know how the pyramids were built. Goes over to Easter Island. He's sitting there with the mayor of the town, having a few beers with him. They go, come on, we'll go out and build you a statue. They went out, and in 2 hours, they built a statue, rolled it down, propped it up. About 10 guys did it. And so he wrote this book to say, it wasn't done by men, did this with the knowledge and the tools they had back then. And we have that tendency to think that these guys were ignorant. They weren't. So these foundational questions, and these are very important, are philosophical and religious, of course, but our view of the answers to these questions impact almost everything else in our personal lives and our culture. It impacts what? Not almost everything else, everything. Therefore, developing a consistent biblical worldview is not only necessary, but is imperative if we're going to impact and change the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of you probably know people, especially in the, I had Kina on Thursday. She says, Pastor, she said, I went over to this church. You know, they told me I had to do this, 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 and to be saved. But everybody in there, they say, well, you know, your faith should not affect politics. You got to stay out of it. Most of them were Democrats. They were involved with abortion. Bob told the story about the Baptist, I think it was a Baptist minister. They were proud of taking young women down to the abortion clinic and helping them get the abortion. And you go, there's something wrong with our thinking. Okay, but you see how we've intertwined the two. So our objective in the next 7 weeks, the DCCC Biblical Worldview class, main objective will be to contrast biblical versus worldly thinking in what? Every sphere of life.
Pastor.
Yes.
That church also had a Planned Parenthood branch in it.
Well, every church should have a Planned Parenthood. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, right planning.
Have you guys been following what had happened with this doctor in New York, worked for Planned Parenthood? They did some undercover work and found out what this guy was, unbelievable, a house of horrors. Incredible. But have you read about it in the mainstream press? No. Have you seen it on CNN or MSNBC? No. Fox News is the only one. Why? They want to bury it. Because if this thing were to come out and people would say, oh my God, this is absolutely horrible what they're doing. These are human beings. I have a video, I don't have it today, but next week I'll have it here. On the Fox News, they had a lawyer representing Planned Parenthood talking to a woman from one of the Right to Life groups, and it was appalling. I mean, it was. You want to talk about hard-hearted. It's the law. I go, hey, killing Jews over in Germany was the law. The law can be wrong. But that we want to see in every sphere of life. All right. See why it's so important to have a biblical worldview. Only 4% of all American adults have a biblical worldview as the basis of their decision-making. That's pretty sad. America was what? Christian nation. You know, we talk about the founding of this country back when they made the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. All these principles were taken from the Scriptures. They had what we call biblical worldview. So a question, you know, I ask a lot of people, I say, why did they divide the spheres of government? We have the legislative, executive, and judicial. Why did they do that? You know why? Because they had an understanding of man from the Bible. The Bible said that man is in a fallen state. He's a sinner. So man cannot be given all authority because his nature is to go towards sin, not towards righteousness. And so to set one man over the country, obviously there are going to be problems. They made it much more difficult to enact various laws because they knew the nature of man. Only 9% of born-again U.S. Christians have such a perspective on life.
Pastor.
Yes.
The word also, Israel wanted a king. So God knew that that was not going to work out. He specifically laid down laws and precepts that that king, biblical laws and precepts, godly laws and precepts that that king was supposed to follow because he knew he was just a man.
That's right. And what did he tell Samuel? He said, they've not rejected you, but they've rejected me as their king. Somebody's going to be king. You remember when Christ, behold, your king. And what did the people answer? We have no king but Caesar. And that's the cry of society today. We will not have this man to be king over us. We want Caesar. And with Caesar comes Caesar's law and comes Caesar's system of justice and punishment and everything else. And so that was a big decision that they had made. Only half of the American Protestant pastors, 51%, have a bill. I would say that's probably even too high. Most of the pastors that I meet with when I have lunch and that, you know, you just hear them speak and you go, they obviously don't have a biblical perspective, you know. They really don't. We just want to get people saved, get them in our church, have church on Wednesday night and Sunday and be happy with that.
Probably 50% don't even understand or read the Bible.
Yeah. And that's the pastors.
Yes.
Yes.
Get
Sarge the microphone there. Underlay.
Don't think that we're falling away from, like people get away from the Bible. It's easier to live with not following the rules of the Bible. It's, you know, it's, there's our sinful nature. It's, you know, that's why society is going away from the Bible. You just, you know, because they read the Bible. Oh, that's rough. I'll just go the other way. It makes it more easier.
You know, there is a way that seemed righteth unto man. But in the end, it's destruction. It looks easy at first. So let's take marriage for example. You have somebody, they're not Christian, they're in a marriage, it's, I'm going to get a divorce. Because that's the easy thing to do, and that looks good. But then they start going through the divorce process, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Okay, I didn't know I'm going to have to go down to court. I didn't know I'm going to argue in front of this judge. I didn't know this judge is going to put all these requirements and stipulations on me, okay, on both parties. And you find out that, you know, there's a scripture that says the compassion of the wicked is cruel. So it may look like it's easy. But when you get involved with it, you're going to find out God's way is much, much easier. But it's just, once again, our nature, our thinking is that the way of the world is easy. Oh, it's easy. Just, well, I'm going to get on welfare. I don't have to work. And then you get entrapped in this mentality and you find out, well, I can't do this. Then you have to start breaking the law. And all a host of problems go with it. That's very good. All right, we'll take a look at a quote here, and then we're going to close in prayer. Thus, the Bible provides us with an alternative identity. When you come to Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me, as it says in Galatians. All right? But it says, give us an alternative way of understanding ourselves, an alternative of relating to the world. When the early church went into the Roman world, it revolutionized their thinking and it changed their society. Now, they had to let many of them lay down their life for the cause of Christ. Okay? But it turned the nation upside down. We are recipients of that sacrifice that these people made. It offers a radical, uncompromising challenge to our ordinary ways of self-understanding. Okay? And all he's really saying is that when we begin to look at life through the lens of the Bible, there's a whole different way to look at the world. And the more we look at it through the Scriptures, we see the more that it makes sense in view of what God is trying to teach us. And so our job is to bring people to the Lord and then begin teaching them what the Bible says in all these different areas. You know, when the apostles were released from prison, they were told by the angel, go and preach all the gospel. In all the Gospels, bring everything, and this is our vision, everything in heaven and earth under one head, even Christ. That's all our thoughts, all our actions under the headship of Jesus Christ. All right? So we're going to end here. And any questions before we close here? Does this make sense so far? I have some videos in that we'll get to next week when we get in here. During this week, though, what I would like you to do, got an assignment for you. Is when you are out shopping, when you are watching TV, write down two or three different things that you see that is being promoted as righteousness that is actually wickedness. But the world itself cannot distinguish between the two anymore. Now we're calling evil good and good evil.
That's the easiest homework we've ever had.
Yeah. You don't have to go far.
Who would you like to close, Pastor?
Matt, would you close? He looks like the preacher today.
Oh, okay. Reverend Matt.
Reverend Matt. The Reverend's son, young Matt. Yeah. Hallelujah. We'll pray for the service, too.
Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for this message that came forth today, Father God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're teaching us your worldview, Father God, and how we should live through your word, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that each and every person here will take that outside with them, Father God, and start to minister that to the world that lives by a different, totally different view that's destroying this world that you've given us, Father God. I pray for today's service. I lift it up to you, Father God. I pray your blessing upon Ed Trout today, Father God. And I pray that every word that is uttered from his mouth comes from you, Lord God.
Yes.
I just thank you, and I give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen and amen.